You may have noticed that in his every fight, Manny Pacquiao would be invariably introduced by the famous ring announcer Michael Buffer as the fighting pride of the Philippines. And it makes you proud to have the name of our nation introduced in such a big audience and to call him the fighting pride. We rightly are to be proud of him as our compatriot. We cheer for him. We relish his every victory. And his personal triumph becomes our country's triumph as well. But there is another sense and a negative one that we can think of the description fighting pride. When such a description is of an attitude directed against God and his cause, then it becomes a very ugly one. Yung tawagin mong lumalabang na mayabang. But this is the description that I think fits very well the nation we are studying in our brief series. Obadiah has directed his vision prophecy against Edom. And one thing that we can describe Edom by is that description, fighting pride. Except that that fighting pride is not simply directed against something else, but directed against God and against His people. Lumalaban siya, mayabang siya sa pakikipaglaban, pero yung kanyang kayabangan ay nakatukoy sa Diyos at sa bayan ng Diyos. And that makes Edom one of a very tragic case of a nation in the Old Testament. We know the big names of Israel's enemies in Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. They were the ancient superpowers. But there were other names, there were other nations that were enemies of Israel, and perhaps none more tragic than the case of Edom. And here, Obadiah concentrates his vision prophecy. Short as it is, yet it is full of substance of prophesied judgment against Edom. And as I've said, Edom's case is a tragic one, perhaps even more tragic than those superpower nations, because what was Edom? Ano bang Edom? Ang Edom ang siyang naging angkan ni Esau. At sino si Esau? Kapatid ni Jacob. At bilang kapatid ni Jacob, dapat yung mga angkan niya ay matatawag nating kaduguri ng mga Israelita. Kung ang mga Israelita ang naging angkan ni Jacob, ang Edom ang naging angkan ni Esau, kaya dapat meron silang magkadugong relasyon. And in that sense, Edom should have been on the side of Israel. Edom should have been kins to Israel as far as being on the same side is concerned. But that did not happen. And so what happened was Edom became a sworn enemy of Israel. And Edom then represents the rest of the enemy nations in the Old Testament. And what we learned last week is that God judges those who are guilty of hostile treatment of His people. And this remains instructive to us today because we are still caught in the reality of the hostility of the world. Kaharap pa rin natin ang pakikipaglaban ng mundo sa ating pananampalataya. Kaya yung mga leksyon dito na may kinalaman kay Edom ay leksyon pa rin sa atin. Mula pa nung umpisa, andyan na yung pakikipaglaban sa Diyos at sa bayan ng Diyos. Mula pa sa Eden, pagkatapos ng Eden, nakita na natin yung paglalaban ng Cain kay Abel. At sunod-sunod yan. At ang prinsipyo na yan ay patuloy na dumadaloy sa kasaysayan ng Biblia na merong pagkikipaglaban ang mga kaaway ng Diyos sa bayan ng Diyos. At what is true of Israel on a national level will be true to us on a spiritual level. When we have faith and when we nurture faith in Christ, expect hostility to faith. Perhaps not in the form of sword or weapons, but still a real and spiritual hostility. And so we need still the lesson of Obadiah concerning the hostility of Edom to Israel. But now we ask the question, what really constituted the sin of Edom that was behind its hostility to Israel? And we need this. And I invite you to turn your Bibles to Obadiah. And we'll read verses 1 to 4, and then jump to verses 8 to 14. Obadiah verses 1 to 4. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you exalt yourself as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. Now jump to verses 8 to 14. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom, and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For your violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother, in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. Now, here are words that accurately describe the sin of Edom. Those words jump out of our passage. What does Obadiah say? The pride of your heart has deceived you. Yung kapalaluan, yung kayabangan ng iyong puso ay dinaya ka. Binulag ka. So the sin that Obadiah, the Lord through Obadiah, is rebuking against Edom is its pride. And it is pride of such a serious nature that it became self-deceiving. Yung kanyang uri ng kayabangan ay yung kayabangan na nakadaya sa sarili niya. Binulag niya yung kanyang sarili. It is a pride directed against God and against His cause. Pride that ultimately was directed against His people. It became self-boasting and yet a boasting that they came to believe. May mga taong ganyan tayong nakikilala siguro, mayabang at sa kanyang pagyayabang, naniwala na siya sa kanyang pinagyayabang kahit walang katotohanan. Now, this is the kind of pride that is being rebuked by the Lord through Obadiah against Edom. It's pride, it's boasting, a boasting that came to deceive the nation. And this remains a sin that we must beware even now. And let me put the message in this simple way. Boasting of oneself before God is the most futile self-deception. Boasting of oneself before God is the most futile self-deception. Ang pagyayabang ng sarili sa harap ng Diyos ay ang pinakawalang saysay na pandaraya. Dinadaya natin ang ating sarili. Now, there are people who may boast, and yet when they boast, they know deep in their hearts that their boast is just empty. Some boast jocularly. Others boast to perhaps perk up their own sense of security. But there is something so grievous when boasting is before God. It deceives oneself. It is self-deceiving. And yet, beware that we may be doing this, yet very subtly. Now, in what form does this self-boasting take? Kailan natin masasabi na mayroong ganitong pagyayabang sa sarili na maaring sa harapan ng Diyos? There are two forms that Obadiah exposes about Edom. First is untruthful to oneself, and second, contemptuous of others. Untruthful to oneself, walang katotohanan sa sarili. Contemptuous of others, mapanghamak sa iba. Ito ang dalawang anyo ng pagyayabang na nakakadaya lang ng sarili. Unang-una, they were untruthful to themselves. And the kind of boasting that deceives is when one becomes untruthful to himself. What does Obadiah say of Edom? You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? You see the language here of self-security, the language of invincibility. You know, it reminds me of Titanic. When it was first built, it was advertised as the unsinkable ship. And on its maiden voyage, it sank. Ay parang nagyayabang sila at parang tinuya ng Diyos yung kanilang pagyayabang. Pero ganito ang ginagawa ng Edom. Ang sinasabi ng Edom ay walang makapagbababa sa amin. Ang dahilan ng ganitong pagyayabang ay the Edomites dwelt in the mountainous region with elevations up to 5,000 feet above sea level. And you know that in ancient warfare, that almost meant invincibility. It almost meant inaccessibility. Ganong kataas yung kanilang elevation, this terrain would be most unfriendly to any invading troops. And so the Edomites felt that they were inaccessible. No invasion would succeed against them. But listen to the answer of the Lord to their challenge. Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down. Now, there is of course an obvious hyperbole, an obvious exaggeration, but the point ang sabi ng Panginoon sa kanila, 5,000 feet, kahit pa makarating ka sa nalilipad ng agila, at sabihin na natin marating mo yung bituin sa kataasan, kaya kong ibaba. At hindi maari ang sino man ay magyabang. Itong ginagawa ng Edomites dahilan sa kanilang physical elevation, they think they were inaccessible, no invasion would succeed, and the Lord is telling them, that is being untruthful to yourself. That is false security. That is boasting. But this is the warning to us. A proud assessment of one's advantages blurs the inevitability of God's judgment. Yung kapag mayabang yung ating pakiramdam sa ating mga kalamangan, sa mga pinapakinabangan natin, maring iniisip natin, ito yung galing ko, ito yung lamang ko, ito yung pakinabang ko, at kung bulag at mayabang yung ating pagtitimbang sa mga bagay na yan, hindi natin nakikita na hindi maiiwasan ng hatol ng Diyos. It blurs the inevitability of God's judgment. And the words that Obadiah put in the mouth of Edom is eerily similar to another such boasting. You remember Isaiah 14:12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now in the Isaiah reference, in the original context was against the king of Tyre as enemy of God's people. And yet, from the name Lucifer, it reminds you that the very root of this pride is that rebellion by Satan, bred by pride. Lucifer, the angelic name of Satan before he fell. And what happened to him? Well, he desired to be like God. His advantage, his favored position, went up to his head. Pumasok sa ulo niya itong kanyang kalamangan sa iba, itong kanyang kadakilaan, at ngayon ay naghangad siya ng posisyon na hindi para sa kanya. Sa makatuwid, yung attitude, yung saloobin na nagyayabang ng sarili, ay ang pinagmulan niyan. ay ang kayabangan ng Diablo. This is the reason why pride is one of the original sins. You remember when Paul instructed Timothy on the selection of elders in the church, he gave him one caution in 1 Timothy 3 verse 6. In selecting one who will be an elder, he told Timothy, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So what was the devil's condemnation? We can draw from that the implication. What condemned the devil was pride. Anong nagpabagsak sa Diablo? Siya na dating anghel, siya na dating pinakamataas sa mga anghel, anong nagpabagsak sa kanya ay yung kanyang kayabangan. Kaya masasabi natin, if pride was the devil's condemnation, then pride is one of the original sins, and it is the root of many other sins. And all that Edom here could see was the elevation of its terrain. Doon siya nagyayabang. Yung mataas ang kanyang lupain, hindi masasalakay. But God is exposing here, you're not thinking of reality. You are being untruthful to yourself. And that is why in verse 2, already Obadiah is showing that the attitude, in fact, of the surrounding nations to Edom is one of despising. They were not afraid of Edom. Ibig sabihin, si Edom lang nag-iisip nito. It was a thought that only the Edomites nurtured. Yet their neighboring nations definitely despised them. Para sa kanila, pipitsuging bansa ito, kayang-kaya nila kung talagang gugustuhin nila. Ngunit para kay Edom, para sa mga Edomites, ang galing-galing nila. Hindi sila masasalakay. And yet it was a thought that was self-deceiving. It was not the reality. It was just nurtured by their own pride. And that's what pride does. Yan ang ginagawa ng yabang. It makes you conclude something that is unreal. It makes one unaware of God's judgment. Now put this on the spiritual plane. There are those who think of their works as their guarantee before God. And if I'm speaking to anyone of you who still nurtures that you're quite a good guy, that you're quite religious, and that your works will guarantee that somehow God will consider you, you are nurturing a thought that is proud and is self-deceiving. Nag-iisip ka ng isang bagay na dinaraya mo lang ang iyong sarili. Kung umaasa ka na may sapat kang kabutihan, may sapat kang nagagawa, at ito ang dahilan upang ikaw ay tanggapin ng Diyos, that is pride. It's illusion. Or there may be those of you who think of your close association to the church, your close association to faith. But that's the very thing that Edom was. And God, in fact, indicts Edom because of their attitude to their brother. Jacob was their brother. They were closely associated, and that did not save them. And never imagine, my friend, never imagine you who are closely associated with this church that close association is enough. Or that your association with believers is reason for you to be considered by God. These are all illusions. You must come to Christ. You must take a step of faith. Not on the basis of association, not on the basis of relationship. You must come to Christ. On the plane of vocation, you may have reached an elevation that others will find unreachable. Beware that it does not cause you pride. Beware that it does not cause you a false sense of security without God, for that will then be your undoing. Kung ikukumpara ninyo yung dalawang malakas na lindol na nakaraan, kung tutuusin, mas malakas yung lindol sa Chile kaysa sa Haiti. Pero mas grabe ang pagkawasak sa Haiti. And the explanation is simple. The materials of their buildings were substandard. And yet, I'm sure many of them thought they were in secure dwellings until the earthquake came. Well, that's an illustration of the kind of security many nurture about themselves. Be that security is based on vocation, based on personal skill or personal status, if that becomes your illusion in your relationship with God, then it blurs. And it is pride. Let us therefore together accept the challenge to mortify pride, especially when that pride is based on what we think to be personal advantages or even personal blessings. Mag-ingat tayo na huwag yumabang nang dahil sa ating personal na mga kalamangan, personal na pabor, o kahit pa tinatawag nating pagpapala. Napakadali na yung tinatawag nating pagpapala ay maging diwa ng kayabangan. Napakadali niyan. At ang mahalagang gawin natin in order not to be untruthful is to always reflect on honest reality. That was what Edom missed. They only saw their terrain and they missed the reality. Now we instinctively think that the opposite of pride is humility or lowliness. And in a way, that is true. But you know, in wisdom books of the Bible, the opposite of pride many times is wisdom. In order not to be proud, you need to be wise. Wise in the sense of the wisdom literature. Often in the wisdom books, you will encounter this classic statement that I love to quote in the Old King James Version. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Paulit-ulit yan. At ang paraan upang huwag tayong ihulog ng kayabangan ay karunungan. At ang ibig sabihin ng karunungan ay alam natin ang realidad. Alam natin yung katotohanan. Some of you will need to begin with your need of God for salvation from His wrath against sin. And wisdom should tell you that that is only in Christ. Take away any sense of security from God's judgment unless it is in Christ. But then, for us believers, pwede rin mangyari ito. Suriin natin yung mga pabor, yung mga tinatawag natin mga pagpapala sa atin. Maaring nagiging sanhi sila na hindi tayo lubos na humahanap ng presensya ng Diyos sa ating buhay. Kuminsan yung pagpapala pa ang naglalayo sa atin sa Diyos. Sinasabi natin yung ating trabaho ay pagpapala, ngunit lubha tayong abala sa trabaho, hindi na makapanalangin. Pwede yung tinatawag pa nating pagpapala ay naglalayo sa atin sa Diyos, and it is being untruthful to oneself. Is it your position? Is it education? But whatever that is, pray to God for lowliness of spirit. Pray to God for wisdom that your advantage, your blessing will not make you untruthful to yourself. Open your eyes to the reality of your soul. Open your eyes to the reality of your graces. How real is your service? How real is your sanctification? How real is your holiness? How real is your relationship with God? And don't trust in illusion. One sad story I read about is something that happened in the medieval age of England's monarchy under Henry VIII, one of the most powerful men in the court of England's Henry VIII was a cardinal, Cardinal Wolsey. He was Chancellor of Exchequer, what you would call today finance secretary. And back in those days, ang pinakamakapangyarihan sa kabinete ay Chancellor of Exchequer. And he was very powerful, and in the process, he provoked many enemies. But he was so secure because Henry VIII liked him. Well, until he turned into one of his enemies was Anne Boleyn, whom Henry VIII liked. And so in the dice of relationships then, Cardinal Wolsey fell out of Henry VIII's favor, and that's when his many enemies turned against him. Now he's powerless. He had depended so much on the favor of Henry VIII. Gone, and now he was lost. And it's a story that warns me of not depending on temporary alliances, not depending on temporary favors. Do you have God? Do you have real grace? Do you have real holiness? Do you have real relationship with God? Do not be untruthful to oneself, to yourself, because that is pride. But there's a second phase of that pride, and it is being contemptuous of others. Yung mapanghamak sa iba. At ito yung nangyari sa Edom, lalo na yung kanilang naging saloobin, mismo pa sa Israel, na tinawag pa ulit-ulit dito ng Panginoon na Jacob, your brother. Yung treatment nila sa kanilang mga kapatid na lahi ni Jacob. Listen to this. You should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his adverse captivity. Nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Now the word gaze here is helpfully translated by other translations as gloating. Gloating is nangahamak, to make fun of one's distress. Ha? Kayong mga bata, pag may nadapa at tinawanan nyo, that's gloating. At ito ang sinasabi rito, you should not have gloated when Jacob was in the time of his captivity. Nung siya'y sinasalakay ng iba, ang sabi rito ng Panginoon sa Edom, para na rin kayong pumanig. Hindi man kayo aktibo na nakipaglaban, yun lang kayo ay nanghamak na sila'y ginapi ng kanilang kalaban, sila'y binihag ng kanilang kalaban, at pinanood nyo na kayo'y tuwan-tuwa. It's gloating, and God said, it has been like you were on their side. And not only did they gloat, they took advantage of Jacob's helplessness. They looted the spoils. They captured fleeing fugitives, and they sold them as slaves. This is contempt, which is a face of pride. So kanina, sinabi natin, a proud assessment of one's advantages can be pride. Here, what we learn is that a proud assessment of other people's disadvantages blinds to one's own sinful condition. Doon sa unang punto natin, iniisip niya, tinitimbang niya sa mayabang na paraan yung kanyang mga kalamangan. Dito, tinitingnan niya yung kababaan o kalugihan ng kanyang kapwa. And isn't this an old pattern of pride? To feel good about oneself because of others' bad lot. Masama iyon. Yung mga taong mabuti yung pakiramdam nila sa kanilang sarili dahil sa masamang nangyari sa iba. At ang sinasabi nila sa kanilang sarili, hindi ako ganun. To put down others in order to lift up oneself is pride. To advance at the expense of others. C.S. Lewis said this in his book, Mere Christianity. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you. C.S. Lewis, I've often told you, experienced contempt on himself by others because of his Christian faith. He was often bypassed for promotion to full professorship in Oxford. Hindi nila matanggap na itong henyo na ito ay Kristiyano. At nilampasan siya ng nilampasan ng mga mas mababa sa kanya. He knew contempt. But many years later, another man would read these very words of C.S. Lewis. Charles Colson had just been sentenced to spend time in prison after the Watergate scandal. And with no one to turn to, a friend gave him Lewis's book. He found this very passage about pride. And those were the words the Spirit used to convict Colson, turned him into a Christian, and now one of the dynamic Christian leaders in the evangelical world. We must confront our pride, especially that pride that looks down on others. And if you think it only happens in politics or perhaps in business, but never in churches or religious relationship, think again. It does happen among professing Christians. And we must confront this. Jesus confronted this attitude with his generation who were nag-iisip sila ng may kalamidad na nangyari. At anong sabi ng Panginoon sa kanila? Huwag niyong isipin na mas matuwid kayo dahil hindi nangyari sa inyo yung kalamidad doon. Salip ang sabi niya, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. So don't look down on others. If there is that tendency of spirit in us to be contemptuous of the disfavor and disadvantage of others, mortify it. I've told you often of that Puritan who witnessed the execution of a criminal, and he said in his heart, "There go I, but for the grace of God." I would have been that criminal, but for the grace of God. Avoid the words of the Pharisee in the parable of the Lord Jesus who entered the temple and said, "Thank you, Lord, I am not like other men." And he turned to that publican or tax collector just beside him, "Nor like this tax collector." Beware of that attitude. This contemptuous attitude becomes all the more indictable when it extends to the people of God. Mag-ingat tayo sa mga bagay na yan. In this month's issue of the National Geographic, tackled a special issue on water. Yung iba't ibang mga gamit, pakinabang, mga pangangailangan ng tubig. At isang natutuhan ko, taon-taon pala, mahigit 3 milyong tao ang namamatay sa sanhi ng tubig. Iba't ibang sakit na mula sa tubig. Something so necessary yet becomes the fatality of others. And pagdating sa mga bagay ng espiritual, maring napapaligiran tayo ng mga bagay na pinagpapala sa atin ng Diyos. O pinapaligiran tayo ng mga taong dapat ay may pakinabang sa atin. Ngunit ang nagiging dahilan ay ang nagiging sanhi na lalo pa tayong payabangin. Ingatan po natin na huwag itong mangyari. Cultivate lowliness in dealing, especially with God's people. To be on their side. And by being on their side, being on the side of God's cause. This was the sin indicted of Edom, the words of Obadiah, "In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were one of them." In other words, you did not side with your brother Jacob. You sided with their enemies. And on our part, it means we take a decided stand on the Christian cause and on Christian people. Edom should have been on the side of Israel. Instead, they stood on the other side, and by standing on the other side, God said, you were just one of them. You became just like Assyria or Egypt or Babylon, but you are Edom. You are Jacob's brother. And it meant nothing to you. It tells us that there is something that compounds the guilt of those who obstruct the cause of God by contempt, especially when that contempt comes from one who knows the Bible, who knows the Christian faith. And I know from experience that none is more militant against the Christian faith than those who have known about it. And those who were nurtured at one point in it. And my heart just trembles at some of you growing up in a church, and until now outside of the faith, who knows but that one day your lack of response, your indifference to the faith will turn militant against it. This is what happened to Edom. Resolve to be on the side of God's cause. Resolve to be among God's people in promoting His cause. And in our church, you will not run out of opportunities. Sometimes they stare you right in the face, if only you look hard enough. But are you on the side of the people of God? One commendation of Moses' faith, you remember in Hebrews 11, is that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And the pleasures of sin there refer to his alternative to remain in Egypt. He could have been a prince of Egypt. And who knows, someday he could have been Pharaoh of Egypt, the most powerful man on earth at that time. But he chose decidedly to suffer with the people of God. And the call upon us is to remove pride, strip ourselves of contempt, and be actively on the side of God's cause, be actively on the side of God's people, oftentimes with self-denial. It calls for a humble zeal, but that very humble zeal can be mighty. One of the great servants of God in the past, D.L. Moody, once said, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. If you come to God, He will not send you away empty. He is ready to bless. But make sure you are not full of yourself. Make sure that there will be no boasting boasting before God. And I said it is the most futile self-deception. It does not deceive God. And as we saw in the surrounding nations of Edom, it does not deceive others. Boasting only deceives oneself. And therefore it is futile. It will really do us no good. Instead, by the grace of God, be humbled by it. Let's close in prayer. Kagaya Panginoon ng babala dito sa bansang Edom, naway seryosohin namin ang kasalanan ng kayabangan, lalo pat ang kayabangan ito ay nakatukoy sa iyo at sa iyong simulain. And as we have learned, such pride can be self-deceiving. As it was said of Edom, the pride of your heart has deceived you. They have found pride in their terrain. They have found pride in their physical elevation. And yet, it's a pride that did not even scare their neighbors. And it is a pride that will not escape your threatened judgment. At naway makita namin ito sa katotohanan, sa larangang espiritual. Kung merong mang nakakapag-isip ng kanyang seguridad sa paraan ng kanyang gawa, o sa paraan ng kanyang mga relasyon, naway tanggalin mo ang ganitong daya sa sarili at makita ng bawat isa na ang tanging katiyakan mula sa iyong hatol ay na kay Hesus Kristo lamang. There is no security apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for those who may be in the position like Edom was in relation to Israel. They may have relationship, they may have close association with people of the church. They may have knowledge, and they may have been nurtured in the faith, and yet still outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they not depend upon their association. May they realize that they themselves must come to Christ. And so spare us from being untruthful to ourselves, for that is pride. Instead, give us that wisdom that will not be dictated by illusion, but will reflect on honest reality. And help us, Lord, to mortify that pride which is contemptuous of others, especially of your people and of your cause. For as in the case of Edom, their failure to side with Jacob, their being found on the side of Jacob's enemies, made them one of them. And we ask, O Lord, that we would realize you expect us to be decidedly on the side of your cause, on the side of your people. It may be maltreated, it may be despised, but if it is your cause and they are your people, we must be on their side. And so grant that we would cultivate lowliness in dealing with your people, in being on the side of your cause. Whatever it takes, grant that we would, like Moses, choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy whatever the kind of sin offered by Egypt. May we choose the lowliness of your cause and of your people. And so grant, O Lord, that we may learn that humility which is from your grace. And may we realize that boasting before you is nothing but a futile self-deception. So deliver us from it and make us wise with humility. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.